Morning, everyone. Wonderful to sing. And all of it, in a whole range of different ways, is serving to have our focus entirely on the Lord, who He is, and what He's done. And it's absolutely wonderful. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Sometimes we change it and say, shall have my soul, my life, my all. Both are absolutely bang on. This love is truly so amazing. And when we realize the magnitude of it and the robustness of it and the heights and the lengths and the depths, this love of Christ, there is a sense in which, not in our negative sense of when we say, oh, they're demanding, not in that sense, but there is a sense in which you feel when you glimpse this all-compelling, powerful love of Christ, there is a sense in which you, at that moment, you're like, there's no choice, really. And yet, part of this amazing, powerful, compelling, constraining love of Christ is that in that very moment, and we have those moments by His grace when He comes to us like that, and we of ourselves know there is no choice really. And yet there, Almighty God, who deserves everything, and we deserve nothing, gives us the grace and dignity of choosing to respond and give Him our lives. It's a free, willing offering that He's after at the end of the day. Not to coerce people, not to have robots in His service, just mindlessly doing what He pleases. But actually those whose hearts have been won, truly won and spoilt for anything else, saying freely, yes, Lord. Have it all, this little, but just help yourself. For you, your glory, it's all about Him, isn't it? We must be careful, we must guard against, even in contexts like these, to ask questions like, what did I get out of it? I know what we mean when we say those things, but surely the overriding key question is, Lord, did it please your heart? Mark started saying we've come to be a blessing to Him, to minister to Him. The amazing thing that is that we are truly blessed in Christ. But let's not be tempted to shift the focus. He's wonderful, truly wonderful, isn't He? And to think that we get to be somehow, and it's so mysterious and so wonderful that we, these clay vessels, can be bearers of the treasure of the glories and the wonders of Christ in this broken world. His plans are just the business, aren't they? I must be about my Father's business, said Jesus. Wow, what a business. Glory to Him. Glory to Him. I'm going to read a passage from Hebrews chapter 3. If you were at Quinta, I was going to say, please forgive me. I don't think you need to forgive me. This is great, this word of God, and I'm going to read it again. I had 3 points to share on in the time I was given one evening at the conference we were at recently, and I managed 1 point. I thought it was a fairly good point. I got a little preoccupied with the 1 point. And then in a few minutes at the end, rapidly just mentioned the 2 other points, which I think are actually part of the 1 point. I will explain. Don't worry if you weren't there. So Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 1 to 6 we're going to read. I was encouraged as our brother Brian prayed for our brother Roddy here about our Father and that we're members of his household. This is from this scripture that we're going to read this morning. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house, that's the Lord's house. For this one, capital O, the one, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honour than the house. That's a great point there, isn't it? He who built the house has more honour than the house. For every house is built by someone. Another great point there. We don't want to miss these great points. I love that. Every house is built by someone. But he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house, that's the Lord's house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which will be spoken afterward. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. And in verse 6, where it says whose house we are, it has a sense of what Brian had prayed about. There's a lovely phrase in the New Testament that comes a number of times explicitly, the household of God. That's a wonderful expression. We're going to hopefully look at that in just a few moments. Just turn to Galatians 6:10. We'll just drop in verse 9, seeing as we've mentioned weariness. That was a bit of a theme at the conference as well. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There's not just a physical weariness, is there? There's a weariness that can come as we live our lives seeking to work out what the Lord's worked in, doing good, but there can be a lot of contradiction, there can be a lot of hostility that comes against the people of God. In fact, it's hostility against Christ. And another temptation, do not lose heart. This wonderful word, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I love, by the way, Peter just dropping that. Did you catch that? 40 years ago, the Lord dropped a seed into his heart. Did you hear that in the testimony? And then in 2006, I think you said, the Lord fulfilled that. Oh, wonderful. That's wonderful. The Lord's able to sow seeds, even in a context like this, that might not have their fruition or fulfillment for 40 years' time or 10 years' time or tomorrow. In one sense, that's not the point, but the Lord is the one who's working. And then it says in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Often we rush over that, and say, especially the household of faith, which is where we're going, but let us do good to all. And then the clause at the end there, especially to those who are of, and there's that lovely phrase, the household of faith. Whose house are we in Hebrews? The household of faith. And if you just quickly turn to Ephesians chapter 2, just over the page from where you were in Galatians, let's go to verse 19. No, actually, it's just all so good, isn't it? Let's read from verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you, that's if you're a Gentile, you who were afar off, and if you're Jewish, those who were near. For through him we both, that is Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you, Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members. This has a wonderful sense of belonging. Members of the household of God. Isn't that wonderful? And Brian prayed for our brother in this wonderful context of our father and being a member of his household. The household of God, the household of faith. Precious scriptures. So back in Hebrews chapter 3, that was our last verse that we read. Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. That is linked with that wonderful rich theme of being members of his household. Isn't that precious? You know, we can have an awful lot of hang-ups, can't we? Let's be honest. We've got insecurities and wondering where we fit in. We can be crippled with anxiety and loneliness and in Christ, my friend, in Christ, you are a member, you belong to the household of God. Sometimes we're trying to sort out all the symptoms, but actually we need to go to the heart of it. And this is the wonderful message of the gospel, that Jesus has come for the one who was afar off. Or even if in the context we read in Ephesians, there was a sense in which you were near, the void was huge. We were not in relationship as we were designed and destined to be with our Maker. Brokenness and dysfunction abounds outside of Christ. But here, oh praise God, Christ, 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 the only answer, we find rest in him alone. So wonderful to celebrate this centerpiece. We were reminded this Christ is the center. Who he is, what he does, his thoughts, his plans, his purposes. And he has once and for all given himself to the Father's will, not my will, he said. There the battle was won in Gethsemane, wasn't it? Not my will be done, but yours. Oh, precious Father, that these many broken ones can be brought home through this brokenness. These many sinners can be cleansed from all their sin through me, Christ says, becoming sin. And you know sin, that they, that you, that me, that the whole world, if we would just see it, could be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? This is rich food, my friends. Seriously, you need to let it digest. Don't go swimming straight after. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. That was a bit of a theme tune this summer too. Oh, praise him. Praise him. Lost in wonder, love and praise. Lift up your head. So, sorry, I'm doing it again. I can't. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. It's okay to get carried away in the wonder and beauty of Christ, isn't it? I was almost going to say to Mark, let's just carry on. We've had such a feast. If you need to cast your care on him, do it. We sang that chorus twice. It might be possible that you're still holding on to your care, my friend. Cast your care on him, for he cares for you. It's possible for us to sing all the songs and even say the words of prayers without actually applying and doing the thing that he's asking us to do. Just do it. Jesus said, didn't he?
hear my dad's voice there. Just do it.
That's the Nike advert, by the way. Whenever I see that, the swoosh, just do it, I think of obedience to Jesus. And there is victory. Just do it. Oh, praise God. So we talked in the summer. Look at that, it's nearly 10 past. We're not going to get there, but that's okay. We talked in the summer about considering Christ Jesus. What a rich theme that is. Looking to Him, focusing on Him, meditating on Him, beholding Him with open face. And we need to do this daily. I just spoke to Brian. I've just confessed. I need to do this daily. Because the cares of the world come in, don't they? In a whole myriad of ways. And we need to be honest and real and just keep coming back to the Lord. And this bubbling brook, this river, oh, wonderful. Bubbling up. Consider Him. It's the antidote to all temptation. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we pondered that. I hope we meditated on that. And that's something that's for life. This is lifelong learning, isn't it? Bless the Lord. So my second point, and I'm going to try and just, we'll see how we get on with the second point, maybe third point later. So in the context of this passage, consider Christ is surely the primary thing, the principal thing. Consider Christ Jesus. And then we read down, and obviously in the context of Hebrews, the whole point is the supremacy and superiority of Christ. And the writer compares, if you like, Christ with all other kind of potential competitors, if you like, for the greater glory. Point is, all the glory to Jesus. He's superior to the angels, superior to all who've gone before. Moses, big one, big guns, Moses. And in this passage, very well argued, Christ, the greater glory. Christ. Christ, Christ. And I love the argument. It talks in the context of house, compares how Moses was faithful in all his house. But Christ has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch, and this is a great point, he who built the house has more honor than the house. And there's a sense in which this, you may think this is a little bit of a tangent, a little bit of a leap, but I felt as I pondered these verses, we consider Christ. And then we consider the work of His hands. And actually, it's part of considering Christ. You consider His handiwork. And I just want to make a brief point here. Bless you, Richard, for standing for truth and the burden that God has given you. We honor you, my friend and brother, as you go round the cities and proclaim in obedience to this one who built the house and built everything. He's creator. And the enemy has been militantly opposed to this truth, hasn't he? You talk to Richard afterwards. He's been militantly and specifically opposed to this truth. That our Jesus is the Word. And you can read in John chapter 1. That in the beginning was the Word. Yeah? And that amazingly our God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, somehow this great creative power and genius was manifest as it's recorded in Genesis. In those early chapters we get light. Wow. We should not be trying to reduce it and argue it away. We should be falling on our knees in wonder that we even get the privilege of a glimpse of an insight into Almighty God in His creative genius and power. And the enemy has attacked this in this hard day. And we are reaping, sadly, societally, the awfulness of detaching ourselves from our Creator God. And our brother is standing with a voice, like a voice in the wilderness. Whether people are listening or not, God bless you, Richard, for your obedience. It's provoked me.
challenge me to my core. Every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. So the second point I was going to get to a few weeks back was consider Christ, consider his creation. If you like, consider his handiwork. Just turn with me to Psalm 8, please. Is Roger here? I don't think he is he? He's away. Our brother Roger did a series on the Psalms last term in the evenings. Really blessed. And he referred to some of these Psalms. If you just turn to Psalm 8. Psalm chapter 8. That's a new way of talking about the Psalms, isn't it? Let's go to chapter 8. Well, you could say that, couldn't you, I guess? It's this wonderful psalm about the glory of the Lord in creation. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Here we go. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers. Now guard here against, because here's a temptation. And it's dealt with in the early chapters of Romans, that as human beings, in our consideration of the creatures and the creation, we lose sight of the Creator. But if this is in the context of considering Christ, paramount, preeminent, sovereign, superior, whatever word you want to say to try and express the importance of it, if it's in this context, oh, praise God, he gives us with such abundant generosity the opportunity to consider his handiwork. And as we do, the whole point is that even as we look and consider this flower right here outside the window, it's a thing of great beauty. And the point is that that is to provoke me to worship Christ. For he created this resplendent, though we're in a broken world, yet the glory of God is spoken clearly and loudly for those who would have eyes and ears to see and hear. Eyes to see, ears to hear. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. And then we get this, and this is actually quoted in Hebrews 2, isn't it? What is man that you are mindful of him? That's an appropriate response. All of this coming from, if you like, every angle is there in a sense to cause that great response of awesome wonder and worship. Love so amazing. Even in his handiwork and creation, it's love so amazing. His sun rises on the righteous and the unrighteous. Love so amazing. This, every sunset to every variety of plant and flower and tree. It's abundant, lavish generosity. Irrespective of how we're behaving. Have you ever thought about that? I could go for a walk deep in my sin. I probably would miss the whole thing. And yet it's all around me. The generosity and goodness and amazing love of God. All around me. Oh, his kindness is lavish beyond our expressing of it. Praise God. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you visit him? For you've made him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor. It's amazing. As I was grappling with these things, I'm thinking, Lord, all the glory to you. All the glory to you. And yet, he's made his creation and the pinnacle of his creation. A few of you are sitting here. And there's a glory. There's a resplendent glory in his handiwork. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Consider his creation. Turn with me to Psalm 19 just quickly. Or chapter 19 if you prefer. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. You've got a declaration. You've got a showing here. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night reveals knowledge. Isn't this amazing? There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. This is a universal message that cuts across all the many and diverse languages that came about in Genesis at the Tower of Babel. This is God speaking through his handiwork, his creation. Oh, praise him. Praise him. Their line has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. If ever there were a few scriptures there that suggest that creation is speaking of the glory of God, these are they. And then listen to this beautiful thought. In them, the heavens, the firmament, in them, he has set a tabernacle for the sun. Isn't that such a beautiful picture? A dwelling place. A kind of house, if you will, for the sun. And then listen, as the I love the language of Scripture. It's so diverse. But here, wow, it's so rich in metaphor and simile and beautiful. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. The sun. Have you ever thought of the sun when it rises in the morning, like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber? I haven't often thought that, I'll be honest with you. But since I've been I'm like, hello, sun. And rejoices like a strong man to run his race. If the idea of the bridegroom coming out of the chamber doesn't really catch your attention, well, maybe the sun rejoicing like a strong man to run its race. It's rising from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end. There is nothing hidden from its heat. Just describing the sun. I mean, it's a fairly impressive orb with some serious heat emanating from it. And here in the scripture, it's described as like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, or like a strong man giving it some in a race. Isn't that great? Why? Why all this? Consider his handiwork. Consider it. Hands that flung stars into space. To cruel nails. Surrendered. You formed me in my mother's womb. I'm thinking, wow, he must have tiny hands. Hands that flung stars into space. That beats the safest hands in soccer. Seriously, he's got the whole world in his hands. Loving that song. You're in his hands, my friend. You're in his hands. We're in his hands. He hasn't dropped the ball. Amazing. The sun, we're quite impressed with the sun when you look into that. Wow. That's just one of how many, Mike? There you go. 100 billion. Oh. Worship him. You're in his hands, my friends. Consider his handiwork. Consider it. You're considering Christ as you consider his creation in the appropriate way. Absolutely. A walk out in the countryside can do you the world of good as you meditate on the glories and wonders of Christ. Praise God. Sometimes we're so claustrophobic in our own mess and situation. But maybe just go for a walk and look up and breathe in and breathe out and say, Jesus, I worship you. Oh, hallelujah. And this is here in this broken world. This lavish generosity that's all around us. The sun, he has set a tabernacle for it. He set a tabernacle for the sun. It's like, oh, wonderful. In Isaiah we talk about how he deals with the stars and not one of them is missing. And it's in that context that he speaks to our weariness. Right on the back of that, he says, consider. No wonder the enemy is against this militantly. We need to celebrate and worship God, our Creator, in these days. Creator. Oh, his wonderful handiwork. And this, you know what, I'm going to do third point next time, which I'll give you a little heads up. It's consider his church. Okay? So we'll talk about that next time. Let's just pause in this little meditation. Consider his handiwork. Listen to what Jesus said. You don't have to turn there, but Luke 12:24, we get this. Consider the ravens. Whoa, hang on. We're just looking at the... How many? I've forgotten how many already. 100 billion? There or thereabouts. Yeah. Have you counted, Mike? Yeah. It's good to have people with differing gifts, isn't it? Because I haven't got the time to be counting that sort of thing. But I love that Mike's on it. He's noted it in his phone as well. Yeah. And then Jesus, who's the creator of it all, who's now come down, initially embryonic, invisible to the human eye. I mean, just let these thoughts pop and it will give you perspective on our little lives. And there he is in the fullness of time, and he's walking this world that he created. And people aren't recognizing him. And he made the whole thing. And then to illustrate a point, he says, consider the ravens. The ravens? Seriously? The ravens? What have they got to tell me? This is Jesus, the Word made flesh, saying this. Consider the birds of the air. The ravens. I don't know if that was a bit of a dodgy topic to bring up, the ravens, as a particular type of bird. But anyway, I've got a sneaking suspicion they may not have been the top choice for the people who were hearing to consider.
They sent Brendan Fletcher to Elijah, though.
Yeah, another controversial move on the part of heaven. Seriously, wasn't it? A little bit of an unclean issue. Absolutely. But then, that was God's provision. We were just talking to our kids about the vision the Lord gave Peter in Acts. You know, the big sheet. And all the unclean beasts. Wow. Controversial. Consider the ravens. Oh, glory to God. Consider the ravens. Why? For they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. He's making a point about value. No disrespect to the raven, but he then says, of how much more value are you than the raven? Thankfully, the raven hasn't got the processing capacity that we have. So when Jesus was saying this, probably wouldn't have got it. But the point is, the raven is cared for by God himself. How wonderful is that? But the point is about value of your life. And Jesus is saying, consider my handiwork, consider my creation. Billions of planets and this dirty bird. We miss so many things, I'm convinced of it. The Lord is seeking to speak to us here, there and everywhere. We've got time. No, well, yes, we have on my watch. 1 minute, last point on this. Consider, just three verses down in Luke, consider the lilies. Oh, praise God. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I tell you, says Jesus, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. He's speaking into my heart as I'm saying these words. I hope it's a blessing for you, brother, and for all of us. Consider the lilies. Consider that. Isn't that beautiful? Sometimes. Yeah, sorry. A little bit of interaction. Okay. Oh, beautiful. Oh, sorry. You said that. I thought you were asking me a question. They are beautiful. Consider the lilies. Sometimes we're looking for a big word, aren't we? Sometimes we're looking for a big vision. A kind of save the world type of life consuming vocation. Lord, speak to me. And he gives you lilies. Or a raven. Let's not miss his finest whispers. Sometimes he can speak. And you know what? When we come to the next point next time, consider his church. He speaks even this morning. There's been whispers. There's been absolute gems. There's been phrases that have come out in people's prayers that have come from a lifetime of walking with Jesus. Praise the Lord.